coming up on Thunder Pop.
Thunder Pop Dome!
From the Thunder Pop Dome. He's back again, Mr. Jazz One. He's available for hype man work, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we're going to talk about his appearance on American Crime.
Yeah. I didn't do it. Oh, I did the show, but I didn't do the crime.
Yeah, that's right. So he won't have to do the time.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Exactly.
But he will do the rhyme, as he is a poet. And that's what led him into getting into being on the show American Crime, was by way of poetry and acting, of course. And we were supposed to talk about this the last time Jazz was here. We didn't get to talk about why he got tossed out of Fader Fort.
A lifetime worldwide ban from all Fader magazine events.
Hashtag ban from Fader Fort.
Ban for life.
Ban for life. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to play that theme music and we'll be right back. Stephen Presley, your host, Thunder Pop, with Jazz One sitting in with me on his fourth appearance on Thunder
Yes.
Pop. Yes. So
that cherry's been popped four times.
Yes.
Woo!
Last time Jazz was here, we talked about we made a reference to Brett Favre and sending the penis pics and the texting, and how you would never want your penis to be referenced as the number four.
Exactly.
But
one's up.
This is a situation where it's four up. It's Jazz One's usually one's up, but this time it's four's up. This is the fourth appearance. So just off of American Crime, you were on this show.
Yeah, a few months ago I got booked for the TV show American Crime on ABC.
Now in production from ABC Studios, the Golden Globe nominated and critically acclaimed series returns, American Crime.
911, what's your emergency?
I want a report of rape.
From Oscar winner and executive producer John Ridley comes a new season and a new crime.
American Crime Season 2 is set in Indiana, and it involves a private high school and a public high school and certain events that pull the communities apart.
Someone did something to me.
In an age of social media, any crisis that unfolds, it's magnified.
An actress friend of mine, Rebecca Chulu, said they're looking for slam poets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a slam poet. My style has been mistaken for slam poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like competing, but I still like getting on stage and yelling and cursing and, you know, making people feel shit. So they have me send videos, my bio, and photos to the casting people.
Blood type, DNA, hair sample.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just
penis pics.
Exactly.
Pretty thorough in their casting.
Exactly. So I get booked for it, and I still don't know exactly what my contribution to this show is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I show up on set, and it's down at the Zach Scott, not the main building, but a side building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the theater in the round, and I guess it's supposed to be a poetry slam. And I, you know, when I show up, they are keeping the extras in one area. Then they had like four poets.
Yeah, the extras, they're sort of the lower echelon of the totem pole, the food chain. Because I used to do a lot of extra work. I had some pretty exciting stories from being in extra work, but also a lot of hours of just like waiting.
Hurry up, wait.
Being a part of a herd, but they don't even get to go in a green room. I think they put him in like a kind of a olive green, which is a little bit uglier green room.
But yeah, they kept the us four poets separate. Like, don't even talk to the extra. No, they kept us separate.
Wow.
And, I go through, I think, the makeup. I go through wardrobe.
It's like Divergent, where you have different classes of people that get separated out.
Yeah.
These are your children. I don't think I knew they were choosing today. What's your name?
I'm Caleb. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Janine Matthews. And you are?
This is Beatrice.
You both have a big decision to make today. I'm sure your parents will support whatever choice you make.
It out.
Yeah. And, then we get to the set, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm performing. I have my book with me. Like, I don't know if there's going to be an issue of licensing some of my work, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring out a guy that they flew in from the Denver Poetry Slam. And I can't remember what episode of American Crime it is,
mm-hmm.
but like the intro has this guy, spitting this piece. And I wound up only being in a crowd shot. I'm still putting on my bio that I got booked for a network, TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, absolutely. Always. I mean, you had a, there's extra, then there's featured, which is like the next step up from being extra.
I don't know. I was happy being booked. Like, I'm built like a cross between a lion and a bull. And to be booked as a poet, I was like, that kind of made me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good way to, to blow off a night. Made some, money. So I was happy. It was a good night. I kind of wish they would have let me spit. But, it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, that part didn't get to do.
It's like every day I look for something that impresses my, puts a little pep in the step.
Yeah.
That day that show aired, I'm like, hey, I'm there on network TV.
It's exciting. Yeah, you're
on. So the next day I had to do something else to impress myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of put a little extra pep in the step for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you do the next day?
I don't know. Every day I try to do 1% better than I did the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And some days it's at the gym. Some days it's booking a bigger gig. Some days it's business stuff. It's like if any day that I can improve on, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. You were like, they're filming the People versus OJ. You were like the car following the white Bronco that was trying to get around it.
Dude, I have an OJ trial connection.
And if you look at O.J. Simpson over there, and he has a rather large head.
Oh, I don't think I've got to hear this.
Yeah.
Especially because it's been in the news now. The O.J. thing has been, everything from the 90s has made a comeback. So the O.J. trial, like everything else is from the 90s, is making a comeback.
I worked in TV news in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Worked for ABC, CBS, and NBC affiliates.
Did you know Hoda? Because Hoda, you know who Hoda is?
No. Yes, I do, but no.
She was, because she's out of, what's that?
I said no, but Noda.
No.
What it was is right after the OJ trial, Johnny Cochran is from my hometown. And after the trial was over, he came back and spent a day in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera crew.
I think I remember hearing about that, yeah.
The Dateline crew, their camera, the cameraman went down. He had, I can't remember if he got sick or he got called away, some kind of emergency.
Yeah.
So my station basically rented me out to Dateline NBC.
Oh,
and,
wow.
My job that day was to follow John Cochran around for the day.
Which is a lot better gig if you're going to get called by Dateline than to do a day of To Catch a Predator.
Woo!
I'd much rather have that gig.
Man, I would like to see that show, but the Predator from the movies.
Uh-huh. Oh, To Catch That Predator.
Yes.
They could still call it To Catch a Predator, but it would be a very different Predator.
Then he sends an online picture of his penis.
No way. You know what? I don't want this cookie. I just want to get to the beach.
Come here, just 1 second, sir.
But generic white male won't be going to the beach today. The police quickly take him down to the ground.
You know what? I don't want this cookie. I just want to get to the beach.
If this show had stayed on, they ended up showing up having some controversy and it got pulled off the air. But if that show had been able to hold on long enough to get to Jared from Subway, they could have had a total cross promotion. Subway could have sponsored the episode that Jared gets caught.
Remember Jared from Subway? Inspired a lot of people.
He's looking good.
He'll show you the way. His name is Jared, and he'll lead you to Subway.
Yeah. I actually got to follow and work on the crew that was following Johnny Cochran around.
Yeah, I mean, it was just basically kind of shooting B-roll. Like, it was a sit-down interview with Dateline, and the B-roll, you know, was the footage I shot that day.
Did you get to talk to Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of, like, for the whole day, it was kind of the day in the life. And that was kind of...
So what was the Johnny Cochran day in the life?
Well, I mean, it was like some school there that he went to in elementary was giving some kind of an award. There were some luncheons. There was, I can't remember, some meetings. And I think there was a church involved somewhere. Connection. I wound up doing some tornado shooting for Dateline. Like...
Not on the same shoot.
Not on the same
shoot. The tornado didn't roll in while Johnny Cochran was there.
Help me! Help me!
We gotta get out of here now!
Help!
Jump!
That's where I'll see it if it drops! If it's anywhere near us,
it's not gonna drop anywhere near! It's gonna drop right on us!
If the storm tracker fits, you must run the other way. Was he pretty relieved at the time? Like his whole, like the vibe you got from him, they had just been through the trial of the century where he was the defense attorney. It really was. I mean, at that point in time, I mean, and it's the case, the trial that got the whole phenomenon of court TV kind of off the and running, and really changed sort of the direction of how TV was programmed in a way.
Oh yeah, because I mean, it's like that trial more or less turned into a reality show.
It was a reality show before reality show.
Yeah,
Which was ironic because one of the other attorneys in the Dream Team was a Kardashian. So there's a little irony there. Who's now being played by David Schwimmer in the movie.
Oh, really?
People versus OJ, yeah.
I've avoided that show.
I haven't watched it. Well, it's a miniseries, so it's like a multiple. But they had an all-star cast. They had Cuba Gooding Jr. They had Malcolm Jamal Warner. They had John Travolta.
Man, see, people get typecasted in my head. You know, and it's like sometimes I see people in roles... And I just can't separate them from an earlier role. Like, what was the guy who just won the Oscar? The Revenant.
Oh, Leonardo.
Uh-huh. Okay, every movie I've seen him in since White's Eating Gilbert Grape, I see as a developmentally challenged kid. You know, like, I saw him in Titanic. You know, like, I'm the king of the world. I'm like, get that special needs kid down before he falls in the water. Like, James Gandolfini and... Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
Like, that monster is going to shoot somebody. Now, it can change. Like, John Lithgow. You know, he started off, he was always the father in Footloose. He may have been on 30 Rock, he was still a Footloose father. But Dexter, when he was on Dexter.
Yeah.
Now, like, I'm worried that he's going to kill somebody.
He's losing that priest.
Yeah, I'm like,
stigma.
But yeah, it's just typecasting in my head.
Well, there's some actors that are so good at being a chameleon. Like, oh yes, just yesterday was his birthday, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
He has a way of just morphing into these different facial features and structure and voices and eye color. It's just becoming a chameleon. There's some actors that just specialize in changing their appearance and changing the way they talk. And then you got other actors like Harrison Ford. You might have always, whenever you see Harrison Ford in a movie, maybe you always think of him as Han Solo.
Yeah, he's always Han Solo.
But that's fine because he's also always Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same. I mean, Indiana Jones is Han Solo, but in a different planet.
No, it's like Indiana Jones or just the dreams he had when he's in.
Oh yeah, when he was in the frozen hyperbaric chamber at Jabba's palace. He had some dreams, and one of them was like, "Oh wow, what was this weird dream I was having about a guy in a fedora on Earth?"
Yeah,
he was an archaeologist. I like that. Although then he had a nightmare when he had the last film, and Shia LaBeouf was his son. Shia LaBeouf. You know about Shia, where he made a video of him watching every one of his films back to back to back over hours and hours and hours? You can watch this video of him watching. It was live feed where you could watch him watching his movies.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it!
He's done some really odd... And he's also another Austin brush with greatness, or not greatness, depending on your opinion, but Shia was thrown out of the 6th Street bar and arrested.
Yeah, yeah, it was funny. Like, I was... I missed that literally by a couple minutes. I was going to see Caliuchis.
So you were down near there.
Yeah, Caliuchis is kind of like Amy Winehouse without the death rattle.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew Amy wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
But I was going to see her at ACL. And like I missed the fracas with the...
Mashiach.
Yeah. Just within minutes.
The Shia ruckus.
Yes.
The Shia... I don't know. I'm trying to find a way to...
The Shruckus.
The Shruckus. The Shia ruckus.
I'm the portmanteau master.
That's... So you were close by when that happened. So yeah, so you worked on American Crime. We get back. I want to hear about your Fader Fort, because we were going to talk about this the last time you were here. Why you've been banned from Fader Forts. Talking about the South by Southwest experiences. This is one that we wanted to talk about a while back. We'll talk about that here in Uno Momento.
Thunder Pop was not recorded in front of a studio or audience.
Yeah, and we're back on the Thunder Pop. The Jazz
Boy. Thunder Pop Dome.
With Jazz One. Tell us about, we were talking about your poetry. Tell us where we can find your work online as a poet.
Go to djjazzone.com. That's with the numeral one. And that has links to videos, spoken word videos, mixtapes. I saw her dance, lost in a beat, lost in a trance, her hips pop on beat, had stripper moves as she rolled grooves. She looked like a soccer mom, but she danced like a stripper. And I would have tipped her, but she still had on all her clothes, but she danced reminiscent of the yellow rose. And I could tell at some time, she danced around poles. Danced like her name was Destiny. She stepped to the bar and stood next to me. Our eyes were locking. I had to say something. I saw you on the dance floor rocking. Where'd you learn how to dance like that? She says, I used to be a professional dancer. And I respond, you mean like cats? No, not like cats. See, I got that. See, I'm not hating, but I'm not a strip club patron. Buying a drink and running a little game has always gave me a much better chance than Peyton for a lap dance. She told me, she loves to dance. I saw her dance, lost in a beat, lost in a trance. Her hips pop on beat, had stripper moves as she rolled grooves.
Do you everything you do is freestyling?
Man, I respect it, but man, I put way too much thought into like every word.
Well, you know, everybody's got their own approach to get to that canvas.
Oh, yeah.
Their art to that canvas. So it's really what you get finally on the canvas, not how you got it there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, all right. So this is a story that I've been wanting to ask you about. You were banned. You were kicked out of Fader Fort, banned for life.
Get the fuck out!
From Fader Fort. This was what? This was last, not last year.
Oh,
was
no. This is probably... Maybe 2007, 2008, maybe?
And for those of you that know South by Southwest, you know what Fader Fort is. But for those of you that may not know about what the Fader Fort experience is, tell them. Kind of give them a little bit of light of that.
Fader magazine is kind of what like Rolling Stone and Spin used to be. It's like remnant music magazine.
Very relevant.
Yeah, it's like the photography's great, the writing's great, and they are really good about giving... some of the biggest artists their first national covers.
Yeah.
Now the Fader Fort is a yearly event they would throw, and literally you're either the next big thing or you're a legend already. Like Lou Reed has played it. Kanye has played it.
Saints, yo, on the latter day, yo, I'm coming this way, y'all. Yo, it's like never fear. Yo, I told you I'ma keep Austin weird. Y'all can hear, we gon' keep it so live. The brother Kyle Sis, yo, from the south side. With Erykah Badu and Kanye West. Yo, you know we coming here so fresh. And I can let you know, yo, I ain't heartless.
They have a lot of surprise. Some of just the surprise. If you just went on people that were not supposed to be there that showed up as a surprise, that list in itself would be extremely impressive.
Yeah, a couple days ago, Drake headlined.
Just showed up in headlines out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what happened was usually my South By priorities were like my gigs, my friends' gigs,
mm-hmm.
and then the Fader Fort.
Fader Fort, you know. Pretty high up on that list.
Yeah, it's like most of like some of my best South By memories come mm-hmm. from there.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And,
same for me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's amazing. I mean, they...
Yeah, I've been to some cool stuff out downtown, but that is up there.
There's an award that they give for, like, events.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Fader... I can't remember the name of it, but the Fader Four has won it before. I mean, this is going against... Mm-hmm. I can't remember what's going against, but it is one of the best events that, you know, you can go to. Robin Baskin is the marketing director and I think VP of something there. And she's the one who coordinates everything. And it's like seeing a conductor. Like, it's like mm-hmm. orchestrated. It's an amazing thing.
And you played it. Did you play it?
That part of the story comes later.
Oh, okay. something
spoiler
to that.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. A Fader Fort South by Southwest. Spoiler alert.
No, what happened was I used to drink pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
It got very Motley Crue there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's 2015 right now, so what year is this again?
It's
2016 right now, sorry.
Yeah, 2008-ish, you know, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, this is a time when... Like, my problem was open bars. Like, if I mm-hmm. had X amount to go out on, an extra shot, an extra beer came in, but I had a stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
And what would catch me is open bars and talent tabs. You know, if a venue gave me a $100 talent tab when I played a gig, I thought that was a challenge. Like, mm-hmm. are you challenging me to drink $100 of liquor? So, that day, I think Southern Comfort was one of the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had 7 shots of SoCo.
And then, Southern Comfort yes. can become Southern Discomfort.
And then I was chasing each one of those with a mixed drink.
Oh, boy.
So I'm a little drunk. Now, mm-hmm. the Fader Fort, where it sits now, holds about 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
When it first started, it held about 200 people in the backyard. And then it moved in between those two. It was a place where it held about 500. Mm-hmm. And when I had my adventures, when it held about 500, there was like a lot more of an industry crowd and kind of hard to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there, I have my drinks, and I noticed the stage is open.
Uh-oh.
Now...
Every bad story ends and starts with the stage was open.
My manager at the time, my homegirl Donna Jean, she's like passing flyers out.
Now, Donna Jean plays with you in the Evil Flying Chicken.
Yeah, she
Chickens,
is
correct?
The keyboard synth player in the Evil Flying Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've been knowing each other for a long time. But she used to work as a manager and really helped out. And I noticed the stage was open in between bands.
Yeah.
So, if you go to the Fader Fort now, you will notice that there are security guys on each side of the stage.
Rather serious looking.
Big guys.
Big guys.
That's because of me.
Oh.
Now, what
You're for the uptick in security now.
Exactly. So, what happened was, I walked up on stage like I own the place. I grabbed the microphone. As a DJ, I do a lot of call and response.
Yeah.
As a
poet, MCN?
Yeah. As a poet, I know how to do poetry, spoken word, for a music crowd. And how to, it's a certain type of energy. you have to sell it with. So I'm on stage. I get the crowd like chanting my name back to me. I call a response. I get into about two.
And the place is pretty full, I bet.
It's 500 people, industry crowd, right?
Uh-huh.
Some people
you might know.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Probably people at home listening to this now probably know.
Or remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That infamous moment at Fader Fort.
So I get into about 2.5 of my pieces. And then I'm standing on stage and the mic is cut.
Somebody caught you.
Yeah, like they figured out that I'm not part of the show. So I put the mic back in the stand and I walk off stage.
But how long did it take for that to happen?
About 6.5 minutes.
So you got a good little set in
before you finally got cut. Yeah, I was up there. Like, I can't believe how long I was up there.
Did you do a microphone drop?
No, I didn't. I put it in the stand. I walked off, and I get the elbow escort by guys who make me look tiny.
Help! 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 Put your hand on your back! Show me, man! Get off of me! I didn't do anything!
Uh-huh.
And, dude, I look like a linebacker. Like, I get dragged out of there by my elbows. They get me outside the venue. They rip my wristbands off. They tell me I'm not just banned from that event that week, but any Fader Magazine event worldwide. I'm like, how will you know? They're like, you look like that. I'm like,
well, he had a good comeback, I will say that. But you probably could somehow make it to one somewhere.
Well,
get in.
The next year, like if you RSVP early,
yeah,
you can go. It's Wednesday through Saturday during South By.
Yeah,
and if you can
get in free.
Yeah, you can go in Tuesday. Well, you can go in line.
If you wait, you gotta wait in line
and get in. You know, so the next day you don't have to stand in this 1,000-person
right.
line.
Yeah,
no joke, 1,000-person.
Professional line. South Byers, locals, they know this trick.
Go on Tuesday.
You go on Tuesday. You get your wristband. You avoid that god awful line.
So I'm in the Tuesday line,
mm-hmm.
and I get up to the front. The guy behind the laptop looks up, and he's like, you're Jazz One. And I think, oh, shit, I'm screwed. They caught me. He's like, I follow you on Twitter. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see your post, too. Shake his hand. And so I get my wristband to get in.
Uh-huh.
And so the next day rolls around.
Your heart started beating there a little faster for a second, though, didn't
Woo!
It? Until you got to this, like, damn, they are good.
Man.
They really do know.
The next day, I go back into the, I get back in the Fader. Dude, I am wearing big sunglasses.
Is this a year later?
Yeah, this is, yeah, a year later.
Yeah, you didn't even wait to, like, lay low for a year or two.
Man.
You were right back in it.
So I had my big sunglasses. Mm-hmm. I had a fisherman's hat. I'm trying to be incognito.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blend in very easily. So even my incognito wasn't that incognito. So I'm at the show that day. This was the year I think B.O.B. was first breaking. I mm-hmm. can't remember. It was a great lineup.
2009?
Yeah, something like mm-hmm. that. But one security guard sees me and he walks up and just does.
Boy. They've got good memory. These guys do not forget. They do not forget.
He like points his eyes and points at me. I'm like, I have learned my lesson. I will not jump on stage unless I'm asked. Now, fast forward. I think it was 2000.
So you made it. You didn't get tossed out.
Yeah, they let me stay, you know.
But they remembered you.
Yeah, but yeah. Mm-hmm. 2011, I got to play South By as an official showcasing act for the second time.
Yeah.
And going to the panels, man, that was amazing. Like, South By is already my favorite time of the year. And getting to go to the panels, it was like finding out there's gifts at Christmas. Like, it's already great,
mm-hmm.
and it just got better.
Just gets better.
And on one of the panels I went to, Dan Charnas, who recently had that show on VH1, The Breaks, from the book The Big Payback, he was on the panel. Rob Stone, the CEO and founder of Fader Magazine,
mm-hmm.
Was on the panel. I can't remember who else, but they were speaking, and Rob Stone, the founder and CEO of Fader,
mm-hmm.
he's cracking some jokes that literally no one else in that whole that room is getting. I am laughing my ass off because I'm catching references. And then, man, it was like when I started realizing all the stuff this guy's had his hands in that I've enjoyed, and it's like, do you remember the Sprite or was it 7-Up commercials with Pete Rock and CL Smooth in the studio?
Let meet the Carmel King of the castle, keeping his tight, CL Smooth, sipping on Spritite. What? It's the Mechadon, never swerving untitled. Knowing commercial rap needs to be recycled. Yeah. Collecting cans for Nick's picks, my latest LP. Now obey my thirst, some precise.
I got the knack to rock, I'm steady heating up the spot. The chocolate boy wonder making heads bop. What's up?
Rob Stone also put together like the Biggie, Bad Boy, Puffy, Arista deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy...
The shiny baggy suits era?
Yeah, this guy is literally a mogul in the business. Like, Dan Charnas' book is like 600 pages long. I want to say there's like 20 pages about Rob Stone.
Would you ever want to be a mogul? Or is a mogul just too more than you want? Is it too hot to handle, too cold to hold?
I'm more of a creative man. It's like if I didn't have to look at any money and I could just create and perform, I'd be happier. I just hate I hate the money side of it.
You wait, we don't want it to get seedy.
Exactly.
You want it to keep it real.
So after the panel's over, I talked to Rob, and man, it was like meeting Oz from The Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. not being disappointed, but no, like this guy behind this curtain.
Yeah, not that kind of Oz, but Oz like we thought what Oz was.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, like this guy has had impacts in so many things I've enjoyed over the years. Mm-hmm. So we exchange info, and a week after that South By, he's like, tell you what, I'll have you play the fader for it next year. And man,
this is after post-apocalyptic Fader Fort.
Yeah, this is after being banned for life, but mm-hmm. getting back in. So, man, I had looked forward. This is back when the since then Fader Fort moved to the other side of the freeway.
Yeah,
and that holds about 2,000 people, and often like almost 1,000 people in line.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I had to look forward to the biggest gig of my life. For 51 weeks.
You had that long ahead of time.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how things can come full circle? You were ass out on the... You were like Jazzy Jeff on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air every episode that he was on there.
Yeah.
Like basically getting tossed out of that.
Would someone turn it up for me, please?
Jazz, crank it up for me.
Oh, yes. Listen. Listen, darling. Listen to the violins. Beautiful. The oboes will be coming next.
Getting booked for that, it was like on many levels. That was also about the time I was coming out of that mourning period after Megan passed.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't care what level you are in the industry, to get booked for the Fader Fort is huge.
It's huge, yeah.
And, so, man, not until, like, I was psyched for it for 50 weeks in
I could get
States.
I could get booked to do mime at the Fader Fort, and I'm going to be pretty stoked.
Man.
And ready to go with my black tights on.
The night before, man, a little self-doubt creeped in. I'm like, I'm playing to a house of tastemakers. Like, if this goes bad...
Well, that's the hard part.
This
there's also the pressure.
Really bad.
Yeah.
But...
You knocked it out of the park, though, didn't you?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Next day, I come in. I had three, I think, like 40-minute sets. I think 2 Chainz, you know, did a set in between my, mm-hmm. you know, 40-minute sets. And... man, first thing I did was play some bounce music. Man, I'm from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up on bounce music. Then it's like Fader, man. It's like they cover like, you know, indie. You know, like alt indie.
It's pretty eclectic.
And stuff. I mean, like rock and hip hop. It's a perfect balance. So I kind of played, you know,
mixing it up between those, going back and forth.
I love
between
jumping
that.
Genres, you know, mm-hmm. in my sets. And then, man, it was all over. They ushered me off to the swag room. Mm-hmm. It was like the second one I've ever been to.
This very different ushering off from the first time you got ushered off.
Yeah. So I get to the swag room, man. It's like all the sponsors of the event had mm-hmm. gifts. Like, was it Converse hooked me up with shoes? They painted like my name. Like they had people painting shoes there.
Nice.
Some clothes. We call it Nokia hooked me up with a phone. Beats by Dre hooked me up with headphones.
Nice.
Man, I must have walked out of there with like $1,000 worth of goodies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was like 2 Chainz was kind of going, getting his swag room run at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because when I shot DJ Khaled's interview the other night, I was at a show and ran into 2 Chainz backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered that because of that was like the year he was breaking.
Yeah.
Man, it's like, I can't remember. Somebody was saying online the other day they were figuring out the years that he played basketball. I think University mm-hmm. of South Alabama, Arkansas. Uh-huh. And I figured, like, that dude has to be in his, like, his mid-40s now.
Right. He's older than what I would have thought.
So it's like, one of them chains might be a life alert.
Maybe, yeah.
Recently, when I became deathly ill, I was able to summon an ambulance, my next-door neighbor, my family, and my doctor without picking up a telephone. I used this remote control to contact LifeCall, my 24-hour emergency medical response service. Watch. You just press this button and speak into the air and...
I'm having chest pain.
I'm calling paramedics and your family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
So you're a late bloomer in terms of making it on the big scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, after the next day, I go back to the Fader Fort. Since then, they've usually hooked me with VIP passes. And I'm hanging backstage, and I see Rob Stone, the guy who booked me.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, apologized. Like, I'm sorry, Mr. Set. And I was like, no, it's no biggie, man. I told him this was like a bucket list gig of mine. And I told him, man, it's like, I really thought when you scratch something off your bucket list, I thought your bucket list shrank some. No.
Like, yeah.
2 or 3 other semi-impossible things show up on your list. And like that day, I pulled just out of my rectal cavity. I'm like, I don't know when, don't know how, but I'm going to play the White House Poetry event. He looked at me and said, this event is harder to get booked for. And dude, something in my head just went snap, crackle, pop. When I realized, man, I basically pulled off something impossible. And I was like, damn, I can do impossible things now. You know, it's like later that year, I got to tour Colorado for 12 days with poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who tours with poetry? You know,
yeah.
It's like, Colorado Springs had radio ads when I went on that tour for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Poet Laureate of Colorado hosted me at an event. It was the craziest thing ever. But yeah, just something since that time, getting, you know, it was a cherry gig to get booked, you know, on so many levels.
Yeah.
Like, one, like me coming out of that mourning period, just anybody getting booked for Fader. I do also remember.
It came around at a good time, at the right time.
It was perfect. It was like, I think I opened it. Action Bronson, before he grew out his hair,
mm-hmm. you know,
played it, and Rick Ross shut it down. 2012 was a good year for big dudes with big beards and bald heads. That was our year.
It was the year of the bald, big beard.
Big dudes with big beards and bald heads.
That was that year. We're talking about people like bloomers like 2 Chainz.
Yeah.
You know, right now on Saturday Night Live, in the comedy world, Leslie Jones, the comedian.
Oh, she is funny.
She's 48 years old, and she's been on the show only, what, about 2-3 seasons?
Man.
She's a late bloomer.
Wow.
And now things are just starting to really pop for her because she's going to be in the new Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
Yeah, so she's starting to pop up in a few movies. She was in a Chris Rock movie a few back.
Oh, damn.
So she's showing. So that's kind of a thing there, the more you know, like moment.
Oh,
but
yeah.
For you kids out there that are late blooming in your dreams, it's never too late.
Don't sleep through your dreams.
Yeah, you could still do some big, great things if that's what you want to do. Don't let the number on the calendar
Oh, exactly.
keep you from, you know, doing it.
Man, once you get of legal age, the rest of it's kind of relative.
You know? If anything, I think actually age takes a lot of the fear away, because at this point, it gets to a point where, like with the 2 Chainz, Leslie Jones, some of these people that get kind of long in their life a little bit, and they start to hit that kind of really the pinnacle of their career. Probably a lot of the nerves and the stuff, that bullshit, kind of goes out the door that you have as a kid trying to pursue a dream. If you're like, when you're doing it in your 20s, the nerves and the intimidation, and be able to be intimidated by people.
Oh yeah,
that kind of, some of that element kind of can go away, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
You as a performer, do you remember like when you were like, you know, the 21 year old version of you? A lot easier to probably push around and intimidate and scare you, would you say?
I would say in some ways, you know, like there was times I'm intimidated. Man, right now it's like,
although there is that machismo stuff that comes with being like in your 20s too, which is like the testosterone.
Well, you know, here's my thing, man. It's like I run into a lot of, I mean, people have done stuff, names or whatever, and the way I view it is we're both artists. We draw from the same well.
Yeah.
Like, you may have made more money, you've got some awards, but your art is no truer than my art.
Yeah.
You know, so I you know, it's really odd because of, I don't know, I just...
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you, I'm gonna let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. Yeah.
Thunder Pop, in association with D's Nuts Productions. Got 'em.
Take a good look at your future, freshman.
Welcome to college.
Yeah, baby!
Richard Linklater brought you the 70s.
2 rules.
No booze in this house.
Go, go!
With Dazed and Confused.
Number 2, no girls in those bedrooms.
Now he brings you the 80s.
Have you noticed everything around here is a competition?
2017!
17 point.
Is that better?
No, I'm scared now.
This spring.
Hey, ladies.
I like the quiet guy in the backseat.
Lesbians.
Critics are calling Everybody Wants Some ridiculously fun and deceptively deep.
This is college. That's the pack mentality. All the adrenaline.
A beautiful, hilarious film.
Don't be afraid to let the experience find you.
It slaps a smile on your face that won't quit. It's funny as hell. And now Everybody Wants Some has an incredible score on Rotten Tomatoes.
My nuts! College is the greatest.
Everybody Wants Some. Rated R.
This is the new Richard Linklater.
Man, I love me some Richard Linklater. Like, I am pretty sure he makes movies specifically for me.
It's almost like he is your smartphone and is recording your thoughts, your conversations.
Man, the very first seeds of me moving to Austin was planted by Linklater with Slacker. Mm-hmm. Like, when I saw Slacker, I was like, I know this is fiction, but this exists somewhere, you know, somewhere there. It was like the first movie I ever saw where people talk like I do. And it's like, I may have not known those people, but I know those people.
It's like, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy meets the Scarecrow and they do that little dance at that crossroads and they think about going all those directions, then they end up going in that one direction. I mean, all those other directions, just because they thought about it, became separate realities. I mean, they just went on from there and lived the rest of their life. One time I had lunch with Tolstoy. Another time I was a roadie for Frank Zappa.
It's kind of a movie, like, it should almost be like, if you come into Austin and you're wanting to live here and you're wanting to get your citizenship to live in Austin, it should be a part of the course that you should have to see.
You can pretend like you've been here longer by watching that movie.
It gives you some immediate, like, education.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know people that moved to Austin because of that film, because of Richard Linklater and his movies.
It took me about 10 years.
They wanted to live here.
But I knew at some time I was going to make that move.
Yeah. Is there, like, look at the trailer. This is Richard Linklater's new comedy movie.
This ain't high school, man. You had a new...
I'm starting to wonder, how old does YouTube think I am? Because now whenever I put on the YouTube I mean, it used to be I would get like maybe eHarmony banner would pop up on there. Or like the MTV Spring Break special would come up. Now I'm getting prostate exams and prostate vitamins.
Man, the other day I got...
I'm not that old.
I got a targeted ad for like a Dr. John t-shirt and like Big Papa size. And I'm like, damn, like, are you looking at me? Are you sizing me up? Like, no, like, you know I like, how you know I like Dr. John? Like, this, and I was like, do I pull out the credit card right now?
It's debatable. Yeah, I'm already getting the mail for the planning your funeral. And I'm like, how old do the, like, Big Brother think I am?
Or how close to the end are you?
Or like, what do? They know something I don't know?
Pierre, you have not earned teammate status yet.
Who the hell are you?
Oh, Jake Bradford.
And until you do, you're nobody.
Excuse me. Yeah. Bye.
I'd like to introduce you to the new guys. Two rules: no booze in this house. Number two: no girls upstairs in those bedrooms.
I'm seriously worried about these new guys.
No! Play a good game, man.
Jake. We have a little tradition welcoming the new guys.
Freshman batting practice!
Welcome to the big time, boys.
This is, looks ridiculously funny. There's a scene here where they're showing the guys, they're taped to the wall. And at the fence in the baseball field. And they're throwing baseballs at them. I know Linklater, actually, this is something I didn't know about him until Boyhood came out. Boyhood came out, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was his last film that he did, the one that took, you know, like 15 years to film.
Man, it was amazing, man.
Majorly robbed at the Academy Awards. I thought it should have guaranteed for Best Film.
Let me go. I don't wanna be a big man. I just wanna fight with everyone else.
I mean, it was just something just so groundbreaking to make a movie that follows the same people in real time, basically year after year, and make that sort of the, instead of like, you know, most films when they do, like, well, they'll have a different actor play him at this age.
Dude, did you see the Simpsons episode based on that?
No. They did
find
that one?
It,
okay, I will find it. That would be something. So I found out when he was doing one of his interviews, he was on, he actually showed up at a huge, I was listening to the Astros game on the radio while I was driving, and he came on because he, you know, he was kind of a, went to college near Houston.
Yeah.
So he showed up at the baseball game and they did an interview with him in the box about Boyhood's release. And apparently he's a big baseball fan, and in Boyhood, as you know, they actually have the Astros. They're at an Astro game at Minute Maid Park with the Ethan Hawke character.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite scenes, too, you being a Star Wars fan, you probably caught that scene where they his son asked him if they ever going to have it. You think they're ever going to have another Star Wars? And that was like so like right on, because we at that point we already knew that the Force Awakens, that there was going to be another Star Wars movie, and I don't know if that was known when they were filming, so it just was pretty hilarious. I love the audience kind of snickered when that.
Nuts!
Look at what we have here.
Hey, ladies.
Party later tonight at the baseball houses.
You should be investing this energy elsewhere.
Lesbians.
I like the quiet guy in the backseat.
There's nothing here.
Yeah, I can see how that could get threatening. New guy coming in, getting all the ladies. That was a joke.
Okay.
So this is kind of a throwback. This is like the 80s. Like he did Dazed, he did the 70s. And now he's doing the 80s. Of course, he had Dazed and Confused. It was kind of a big 70s movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that brought us the ever famous Matthew McConaughey character and that great line that he had.
All right.
Oh, Christ.
How you doing?
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
All right.
I had read that this was sort of a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, what he called a spiritual sequel.
It's in the same universe. did you see that one commercial on that Lincoln where he's driving through downtown Austin? There was no traffic.
Yeah,
like that was a green screen or something. That was bullshit.
That was an alternate universe.
Like seriously, like I've been in traffic at midnight.
And there's traffic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh on God. A Sunday.
Sometimes you gotta go back to actually move forward. And I don't mean going back to reminisce or chase ghosts. I mean going back to see where you came from. Where you been, how you got here. See where you're going. I know there are those that say you can't go back. Yes, you can. Just have to live in the right place.
Like, did they just block off the upper deck? You know, like, I have no idea how they pulled that off.
Yeah, I don't. That was the music, probably over at Robert Rodriguez Studios in a green screen. they filmed that, same place they filmed Sin City. Could have been after the zombie apocalypse. You know, they filmed that zombie movie here in Austin with Bill Murray makes the cameo and Woody Harrelson. Zombieland, filmed here in Austin. Maybe it was they were filming Zombieland 2 and that it was like in Austin with no traffic because the zombies had taken over Austin again. That was the one with Bill Murray makes a cameo. And you see Zombieland?
Yeah.
It's a good one. And that's, of course, this movie is called Everybody Wants Some, which is also a really good name for the movie. It's like the Van Halen song.
Man, and, I tell you, Matthew McConaughey would have made a great Luke Skywalker just in all the movies.
Would have been a different approach. Yeah. Could have been. Could you see Matthew McConaughey in a Star Wars spinoff movie?
Use the Force. It'd be a lot better if you did.
Let me tell you about that. You saw True Detective.
Yeah.
And that scene at the end of the last episode, spoiler alert if you haven't seen True Detective, where he's like talking about that kind of that, you know, that philosophical moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of that Matthew McConaughey as a Jedi.
See?
Mm-hmm. See it. Let's see it. Let me tell you about all right. I'm gonna tell you about the Jedi and how the Jedi works. Your eyes get real crazy first, like this. You look around. Mac Brown could have been the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
See?
In Matthew McConaughey, Luke Skywalker, Mac Brown would be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Because then he's basically Matthew McConaughey's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Exactly.
Ricky Williams is Lando Calrissian.
Oh, this movie's getting better.
This is the Texas Longhorn Austin. The guy from Franklin's Barbecue could be Lobot, you know. So he'd be grilling some barbecue on the Cloud City.
Exactly.
They would call it Smoke City.
See?
And Ricky, you know, Smoke City, that kind of works with him too. So instead of Cloud City, it's
Austin. Let's make this happen.
I think we got the fan film. The ostentatious fan film of Empire Strikes Back. We did it. Let's get this made. We got to get this movie made.
We like Star Wars Return of the Leslie.
It's a no-brainer. See, we could have Rick Perry as the Dark Sith Lord.
Oh.
As Palpatine.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah, so we're getting this thing cast. We're getting it. Princess Leia. That could be Renee Zellweger.
See?
Another Austin original. We could get... I'm working on this. We're getting this thing pieced together. Instead of John Williams, we got music from some riffs from Stevie Ray Vaughan in the sounds like Star Wars theme, but done by Steve in blues or in blues sound.
Maybe some Willie.
Willie's got to be in there. But see, we already gave Mac Brown Obi-Wan Kenobi. Willie though would actually be a good one too. Willie's Yoda.
Yeah.
Oh, we made the movie. We got this thing cast. Willie is Yoda, of course, because all the sayings and stuff.
Austin, we gotta make this happen.
You gotta make this movie. On that just unbelievable note, we're gonna take a break. May the keep the Austin Weird Force be with you?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll do this. So we got...
No, may the weird be with you.
May the weird be with you. Yeah, this movie's got... This fan film has got to be made.
Exactly.
I know we could get all these people.
I'll make some calls.
We're going to start making some calls on this on Monday. All right, when we come back, we've got another agree or disagree.
I agree.
And this one's going to get cray-cray.
Uh-oh.
This may be the craziest agree or disagree to date.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Obi-Wan. Oh, no, Kenobi.
Star Wars. 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 Star Wars.
Star Wars is so galactic, Han Solo charismatic, makes me kinda asthmatic. If Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic. The Force, of course, is wide awake, baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
All right, all right. Oh, Christ.
We are back with at the Thunder Pop Dome.
Thunder Pop Dome. I'm Stephen Presley, your host.
Jazz One's
here, sitting in as co-host and panelist. Glad to have him back. This is his fourth time, number four.
It's good to be back.
One's up, four's up.
Oh.
Or one's up four times.
No, if I come back a fifth time, do I get the jacket like SNL?
Oh! Okay, we're gonna come up with something for five timers, like they do on the SNL. We have to come up with something. You might get a hand rubber stamp or something, or like a sticker.
Hot damn.
Number one on Agree or Disagree, Sylvester Stallone is developing a new Expendables TV series, according to the internet. Now, they're also playing another movie, Expendables 4. The TV series would be a different cast, but it's still an all-star action hero series based on the movies. Should Machete's Danny Trejo and Walker, Texas Ranger Chuck Norris be on the phone with their agents to get in this TV Expendables? Agree or disagree?
Totally agree.
Because you kind of see where I'm going with that. You have, like, on the movies, they like to say they're going with, you know, the sort of the Sylvester Stallone, the all-stars, the Bruce Willis, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, kind of the all-stars of action movies from over the years. It may be the all-star of action heroes from the 80s, but it's still all-star of action heroes. But for the same idea, you might go with, like, you go one tier down on your action heroes because it's television.
Yeah.
But you could get still some pretty big all-stars. So we see where I'm going with that.
Absolutely.
Totally agree with those two as a casting choice.
Oh, completely.
I like it. And also, I'm thinking of, like, some other people that they could have in there, like Dierks Benedict from the A-Team that played Face Man, who's still, you know.
Is he alive?
He's still alive and very, like, able to still, like, do that role, do that kind of that role of sort of in that same vein. They could probably put in, who'd be some others you'd see, like, in a TV Expendables in that all-star action. Maybe one of the guys from Simon & Simon. Could get that in there, like some of the TV detective shows.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if the guy from Hunter is too old now.
MacGyver.
I got one. Michael Strahan.
Ooh.
Could be MacGyver. Yeah, that guy from MacGyver could be good. So there's some good ones there. Okay, number two. Within the last several years, South by Southwest has featured the who's who of pulp culture. I sometimes call it SXSW. And I don't know if you know this, but I made a video one time. It was a parody. And it was Captain Badass's alter ego, who was a reporter like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And it was him doing coverage at South by Southwest. And so I did some guerrilla stuff. Like, we would go into the convention center and start filming during Interactive. He thought it was South by Sexual Southwest.
We're having to walk to the South by Sexual Festival. We're having to walk to the South by Bisexual Lesbian Festival. We finally got to the South by Sexual Lesbian...
Stuart
Fagans, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
CaptainBadass.tv.
Okay.
We're actually wanting to know about
that this is a film festival, the South by Sexual Southwest Film Festival, and how cool is it to be part of a festival that's about people that like girls and guys? Come by for me real quick, ma'am.
Hi.
Stuart Fagans from the Frugal Flyer Online, CaptainBadass.tv. I'd like to know, how is it to be a part of such a great festival, the South by Sexual Southwest Festival?
Sexuals? No.
Well, yes. Yes, indeed.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I'm really into the idea of chicks that like chicks and dicks.
Oh, you like dicks? I think plenty of that here, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, ma'am, if we can bother you for a second while you're on the phone.
Okay, well, bye. Sure, I'm kind of busy.
Stuart Fagans from the Frugal Flyer Online, CaptainBettis.tv. Uh-huh. I want to know, how is it to be part of such a great festival, the South by Sexual
Southwest
Festival?
It's good. I'm kind of busy
Festival.
Now. What are you talking about?
Busy how?
What's he talking about?
What about now?
Well, I have to go do a, what am I doing? Registration, and then I'm going to go do a panel in a little
okay,
bit.
Okay. Well, how about now?
No, I really got to go. I don't like the spy business. I mean, this could...
This is must be really cool to be part of a festival that's about so much, about, you know, the Southwest Sexual Southwest Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool to me, because any festival that has to do with girls that like chicks and dicks, it's got to be all right in my book.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Stuart Fagans here for South Bisexual Southwest Film Festival.
Oh, which is where the other joke I made earlier. So I was going around asking people about South Bisexual, because he's not very smart. He's kind of a little bit dunce. So anyway, South by Southwest has featured the who's who of pop culture in the last years. Lady Gaga, Justin Timberlake, Prince. Yeah. Prince. J.J. Abrams this year, and even the president this year.
Yeah.
So, are they now finding themselves at a crossroads where they're competing against themselves, and it might be impossible for booking panelists and special guests? Agree or disagree?
Oh, man, I have to agree, man. It's like...
For the well-run drive.
The president, that's a huge get for the festival.
Yeah.
You know, and the first lady for
same
music,
week.
You know,
the same week,
like,
yeah.
That was huge. Like, literally, like Jesus coming back and he's on the panel, you know,
well,
he's doing the keynote.
Yeah, Easter's just pretty close to South by time, so they couldn't coordinate that.
You know, like, hologram Biggie.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only thing that could top the president coming to South by would be, you know, a dead artist coming back to life,
mm-hmm.
and giving the keynote.
Mm, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I mean, they have, they could bring back Michael Jackson,
yeah.
John Lennon.
The ghost of Bowie.
You know, I want to do get a medium on here sometime, because there's a way that I can book a big celebrity interview as a dead celebrity interview and do it through a medium. But then there's going to be all these people, like, who do I interview first? I think Alfred Hitchcock would be a good dead celebrity to interview.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then the question is, of course, that he's really into, like, making these spooky movies, so he might try to really fuck with me and scare the hell out of me. He loves the suspense, so it'd be like some doors, like creaky doors in the background. I don't know if I'd want to make friends with dead Alfred Hitchcock. He'd start messing with me when I'm in the shower. All right, number three. In 2016, we will swear in the first female... this is agree or disagree, by the way. This is not a prediction, if you agree with it. In 2016... we could swear in the first female president of the United States. While in her first months of office, a new sex scandal will evolve involving the first husband. On the heels of his apology, he decides to take on sex addiction as his cause of choice while in the role of first husband. You know how first lady always takes on a cause of choice? So his cause of choice will become sex addiction, which will actually make a huge stride in sex addiction awareness. Do you agree or disagree with this?
There's a lot going on. That's a great premise. Like, this sounds like a great SNL sketch. Or, like, this, there's something there. I would flesh it out. Like, maybe write this up.
Maybe I need to get this to Lorne Michaels.
Yes, this works on some level, but in practicality,
probably not all going to play out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least half of that, or a portion of that.
Man, I tell you, I'm a Bernie guy, but if she gets in, I'm sure Bill's going to be sitting at the kitchen table. There's going to be conversations.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think you probably had the team of both of them running things when we were, driving in the 90s.
First go around.
Yeah. So I prefer Bernie. I can deal with having another Clinton just because I know he's going to be.
There's probably even some Chelsea involved now she's older.
Yeah.
And interjecting some of her thoughts. Although they need to come up with it. Like, I was talking about this on Facebook, that every time they would come to Austin, they would hit straight to Guero's.
Yeah.
And Obama's a little more, like, innovative. Like, he hits these new places. Like, he seems to be doing his homework. But they go, every time they just go straight to Guero's. So I'm wondering, would they still do that now? Would they go straight to Guero's? I know, even like a few years ago, when Hillary was in town with Chelsea, they went to Guero's. They love them some Guero's.
Man, there's better tacos in town.
Yeah. I mean, I can stand back.
Hashtag Taco Quest 2016.
Yes.
Hashtag the Taconosaurs.
Which you can read about their quest.
Yes.
For the best, finding the best tacos.
The best tacos in Austin.
So this is one for you. Oh, okay. That was it. I thought I had another agree or disagree question for him. Agree or disagree. This is the last question of agree or disagree.
I agree.
There you go. Thoughts and advice for that booty. With the dogs, who let the dogs out in the background. Thoughts and advice coming up here in several halves of seconds. Stay tuned. After these messages, we'll be right back.
The shit is getting real. Oh yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
And we're back, bitches.
Oh yeah.
On the Thunder Pop. All right, so here it is.
Where are we at?
In the Thunder Pop Dome.
Dome!
As named by Jazz One.
Exactly.
You know it. So here it is. I've got my thoughts and advice for you. My thoughts and advice today is all about tacos.
Tacos!
In tribute to Jazz One and his project that he's working on in the Taco Quest.
Taco Quest 2016.
To find the best tacos in Austin, right?
Yes.
You know, if you get
great, we're looking for the best.
Now, if you get this one going, then you could do a kickstart for the second one to do a search nationwide for the best tacos outside of Austin.
That why do that? Because the best of them are here.
Well, yeah. I was mining for things to talk about on the show earlier. I read an article about the most unusual tacos.
Yeah.
And there was like a place that did tacos with crickets, and there was a place that was doing like pork belly tacos. This is now spread out all over the country.
Dude, April 7th, 2015 was my 15th anniversary in Austin. And I joked about doing it for the longest, but I went for the taco trifecta. It was tacos for each meal of the day. Like, my first one was over at, Bolden?
Bolden Creek?
Yeah, with the pecan chipotle pesto.
Oh yeah,
and like
used to go there tacos, all the time.
Then went to Marisco's for Cochinita Pibil and Al Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Then some
is Marisco's around still?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then some tickets to a UT game, a baseball game, fell in my lap. I was just having the most Austin day after it was over.
That's a great day.
Well, you know, it's like when you're married, you have the gold, you got the paper anniversary. Mm-hmm. 15 years in Austin is the taco anniversary.
It's a taco day.
So
you got to do a taco.
The last taco of the day was at Torchy's. And I walked in. I'm like, you are the last taco on the taco trifecta.
Uh-huh.
They're like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. And three people pointed to a sign at the same time. It was the Roscoe. It was a tortilla.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. It's their special.
Chicken.
Yeah.
A waffle. An egg. And so it stretched the definition of a taco, but I was like, this is it. If I'm here for five more years and have a 20th anniversary, Austin anniversary.
Another taco day?
No. 20 years, barbecue, all three meals.
A barbecue day. But can you get barbecue for morning? Probably.
Yeah.
Stubbs does brunch. Stubbs apparently does a great Sunday brunch. I've never gone because you got it. It's so big, like you have to do reservations for it. So it's like something you have to plan ahead for.
April 7th to 2020.
I got something for you. Going a little bit out of town, Elgin.
Oh yeah.
There's a guy in Elgin who's got a trailer, and he's been opening this trailer up. He used to only do Saturdays, and I think now he actually opens on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Probably the best brisket taco I've ever had.
Ooh.
And he makes so much money in 2 days that that's his only job.
Damn.
He doesn't have to do anything else the rest of the week.
Wow.
But amazing brisket taco. My brother lives in Bastrop and will drive all the way to Elgin just for his brisket taco.
Damn.
And I've planned like trips out there on the weekends just for that brisket taco. And it's sort of like near the, I don't know if you go out, been out there much.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know where my, like the, there's South Side, like right on the highway, and then you go into town, there's Myers, and it's kind of around the corner. It's in a, it's actually, he like a lot of food trailers, they'll rent a parking space in a gas station parking lot. The gas station's closed. They're out of business. They've been out of business for a while. He's still there.
Wow.
And he's now been able to build it up, so he's put in like a deck. He's got seating now. It started to expand. It used to be just his trailer in a gas station parking lot.
Well, that's an amazing thing, you know, with the trailers, especially here. Like the threshold of getting into the food business, mm-hmm. it's lower than getting a brick and mortar going. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Torchy started his trailer, you know.
Yeah.
You know, several places around here, like Peach Tortilla, mm-hmm. you know.
This is where this is perfect for what we were just talking about. My thoughts and advice is 7 days of tacos. How do you do that? So I broke it down for you. In Austin, 7 days of tacos. Sunday, you brunch, you do breakfast tacos. Easy money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do brunch, you eat a little bit extra, then you don't eat again until dinner. Dinner, you do crunchy shell beef tacos of your liking, your choice. Okay. Monday, for breakfast tacos again. Second meal, you go Korean tacos.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Because we're doing a week of tacos.
Yeah.
So you got to break it up a little bit. Okay. For dinner, you do Baja fish tacos of your choice.
I'm not mad.
Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Breakfast. Yeah, Taco Tuesday. You've already on your third day, too. For breakfast, guess what? Breakfast tacos. Now, you can change this up and do different breakfast tacos every day at different places, okay? I'm not telling you where to go. I'm just telling you how to do it.
Man, that pecan chipotle pesto at Bolden, I told them I will do bad, bad things for a jar of that.
Oh, man. Did you do it? Did
they take you up on it? They haven't taken me up on the offer. I've even thought about maybe trying to date something. Like, they don't sell the pesto by itself.
Trying to date your way in?
Yeah, I've been like, Can I have sex my way into getting a jar of this?
Oh, I've had people offer me money to infiltrate Taco Deli to get their recipe for their doña salsa. Offer me money.
Man, I know pesto is not a traditional breakfast taco thing, but man, just the way it works with the egg and the tortilla and mm-hmm. the cheese.
And by the way, I've always refused that offer. Never sold myself out. Of course, I don't have the recipe. Okay, here it is. For lunch, you go rogue. You go with a fast food tacos, okay? Which can be, you can make
what
your
own. What you talking about, Willis?
For dinner, you do ahi tuna sushi tacos.
Okay.
Find your place to do that at. Wednesday, for breakfast tacos again. For lunch, you do bean and cheese soft flour taco of choice.
Okay.
All right. Okay. For dinner on Wednesday, wild card, you pick your taco of choice. Thursday, you find the most exotic taco you can find in the capital city. That's your brunch. But by the way, for breakfast, it's still breakfast tacos. For dinner, fajita tacos. You find your best fajita taco of choice. All right, Friday, breakfast tacos for breakfast. Big surprise.
I'm in.
Okay. Lunch, again, you pick your favorite taco. And that's what your lunch is.
Orego de Oro.
Okay. Friday for dinner, you stay home and you invent your own taco.
Dude.
What's your invention?
Caruso and I were talking about a taco today. It was going to be a Boudin taco.
Oh, you might be onto something there.
Yeah.
You got to bring, you know, that's how Korean tacos started, was a meshing of culture.
Ooh, dude.
It could be done.
Like, it was like
fusion.
Taco.
It's fusion.
EAUX. Like,
I want to be there. I want to be there the day that food trailer opens. I want to be there. All right, Saturday. Oh, man, a huge surprise for breakfast. What do you think?
Breakfast tacos, but wait. We're going to Mi Madre's.
Okay, I'm with you. Saturday for me, Madres.
Well, you may have a little weight. Worth it.
Lunch, mole tacos.
Okay, I'm in.
Dinner. You can go with the blue ball or the red ball. Either carne asada or a brisket taco.
Oh, man. I'm in.
There it is. 7 days of breakfast tacos.
Dude, this sounds like a challenge.
I think we might have to do this. Well, that's gonna be like the South by Southwest of tacos. Which we could turn into a festival. We have taco festival.
A taco fest.
Call it a taco party. There you have the thoughts and advice for your day. And that meditation music in the background has never been more annoying.
Oh, and this day just keeps getting better.
All right. I want to thank Jazz One.
You're welcome. It's been a joy.
And this is your fourth time. So the fifth time, we decided that five-time hosts have to get something.
Exactly.
It's either a sticker, you get a jacket, you get a candle, maybe a scented Yankee candle. You can do a special Thunderpop scented candle. Try to work out a cross collaboration with a Yankee candle.
So that's like sweat and pizza smell?
It's sweat, pizza smell, maybe a taco smell in there.
A little dog.
Sweat smell, the dog's breath, all rolled into a candle. It's going to be the greatest Yankee candle ever. That's our... It could be a popcorn smell added in there, too. It's been part of... Yeah. Burnt popcorn. Burnt popcorn, yeah, exactly. It'd be the burnt popcorn smell on there. Man, oh man. Everybody, have a great week. Have a great hour. Have a great day. Have a great month. Have a great year. Have a great decade. Have a great century. Have a great... Turn it around and flip it and go to the other end and have a great millisecond. And have a great now.
Have a great now.
Not now, now.
Now.
No, not that was yesterday's now. This is the now, now.
Now.
The now, now, now. All right. Thank you, man. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's been a blast.
Having you in the chair. We'll be back with more on Thunderbox.
Hell yeah. And we out.
Booyah.
I lied.
Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
Come on! See you later! Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks Productions.